Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Let's get it going. This is Late Night right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
From everyone I talk to in the organization, they're excited about his development. He has so much potential. He is gifted. He's been through a lot in his life. He's got some character and some grittiness and toughness to him, but he's not ready yet. I mean, that's the bottom line. He is not ready to lead the New England Patriots, in my opinion. I think Jake Fromm makes a lot of sense, but he doesn't have the physical tools that you would ideally look for. But if you're going to bring in Andy Dalton, I would rather have Jake Fromm.
All right, that's Todd McShay, ESPN Get Up. Brian Barrett with you, 617-779-7937. So, first of all, can we stop with the Andy Dalton crap? I don't understand this. So because the Patriots could be interested in Dalton, that means they should go after a guy that's similar to Dalton? Where is this coming from with the Dalton stuff? I know that Peter King like put it out there as like an idea for the Patriots. But I haven't seen any NFL insider saying like the Patriots are interested in Dalton and they've been calling the Bengals. Why would you want Dalton? He doesn't make any sense on this team. You don't find anything out about Dalton. You're not like, oh, we can build a franchise around Dalton. We already know what Dalton is. I'm not on board with that whatsoever. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Bo, who's in Connecticut. What's up, Bo?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
All right. I had a couple points, and one of them was that Brady can still get on the same page with his critical offensive players, where three, four, five, or six of them could get together, still keep their social distance from each other because most receivers wear gloves, correct?
So most receivers wear gloves, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, so, I can't even remember the last time I seen a receiver without gloves.
Yeah. So they could get on the field, keep their distance away from each other, and still run certain plays. The coach could be somewhere in the same vicinity.
Well, the coach can't because you can't do it. There's no OTAs or anything right now, so the coach couldn't be there.
Right,
that would be illegal.
Well, not yet, but all right. Well, the players or the skill players could at least, and Brady would be like, all right, yeah, I just saw, you know, you ran 10 yards, but instead of running 10, you run 8, and that works better for me, or just vice versa. And just throw the ball around and judge their speed and judge everything. And he can still get on the same page with
right,
some guys.
I understand your point, but here's the thing. Most other off seasons in the NFL, in fact, every other off season in the NFL in recent history, except the lockout year of 2011, teams have been able to have all these OTAs and all these opportunities in the off season to work out. And this year, you're not going to have the same luxury. And this is the first time that Brady has left the nest that has left the Patriots, and he's not going to have the opportunity that any other year he would have had.
Yeah, he's not going to have the full opportunity, but he's still going to have some opportunity. And all that matters is, like, the top five skilled players. It doesn't matter the other, what, 20.
Right, Bo, I understand your point.
Offense. Yeah, you don't need the offensive linemen and stuff like that.
Yeah, I understand your point for the most part, but the bigger portion of this, and the thing that I'm pointing out is, every other year in the NFL outside of 2011, teams have OTAs, teams have off-season workouts. In fact, Brady probably would have already had a passing camp with these guys if it was a normal off-season. And Brady's not going to have the opportunity to do that, and it's the one time that he's left the organization, which is unfortunate. And again, Brady doesn't know exactly what Bruce Arians wants to do. He can get a playbook and all that, but those two guys kind of have to mold their offense together. They have to take some of the great stuff that Brady does and take some of the principles of the Bruce Arians offense to make sure it works. Like this, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be successful in 2020, they really needed the offseason more so than most other teams in the NFL. The Saints don't need it. The Saints know exactly what they're going to do. But for the Buccaneers to be successful, they need a lot of time together. Because even though it looks great on paper, Godwin and Evans and Brady, you got to work those things out. Not to mention the fact he says you don't need the offensive line. Well, you kind of do, because the protections are going to be different with Brady than they are with Jameis Winston. And those guys got to get used to a thing that Brady does that Jameis did not do as well. Brady, how often did we see him change the play at the line of scrimmage? That's part of what has made Brady one of the greatest quarterbacks, the greatest quarterback in the history of the damn sport, is he can read the defense before the play. He knows everything that's coming. He's got to get the linemen on the same page with that. He's got to get the tight ends. He's got to get the receivers. He's got to get all those guys on the same page with them. So that's why it's going to be a challenge for Brady this offseason, because it's so unique with the coronavirus pandemic. If a team that considered itself to be a contender, which I assume the Buccaneers do, and I don't see it that way. I don't think the Buccaneers are going to be as good as everybody thinks they're going to be. But nonetheless, if they consider themselves to be a contender, they're at a massive disadvantage to some of these other teams across the sport. But I did want to get back to what Todd McShay was saying, and you heard it coming out off the top there. He was talking about Jarrett Stidham, and he says he was a great backup, in my opinion, coming out of college at Auburn. He had a chance to be developed into a starter, but he's not ready yet. This is the bottom line. He's not ready to lead the New England Patriots, in my opinion. So I want to start with this. How does Todd McShay know whether or not he's ready? I get when you see him coming out of Auburn, you could say, oh, he's a project. But was Todd McShay at a lot of Patriots practices last year? I would guarantee that he was at zero. Okay, so I don't know how he can say that, in my opinion, Jarrett Stidham's not ready to start now. Now, if he was going to say that about a quarterback this year coming out of the draft, right? For example, Jordan Love, who has a lot of talent, but most people consider to be a project-type player, had a ton of interceptions last season. If he wants to say that about a guy coming out of college this year, okay. He scouted him. He's around the team and whatever. Like, I understand it from that perspective, and he watched him on film. But you haven't seen Jarrett Stidham for a year. He's been working with the Patriots for a year. So I don't know why Todd McShay says, yeah, he's not ready to start right now. How do you know that? You don't know that. Even if there's reporters, and there are reporters at a lot of the practices, but even a reporter that's there every day, they don't even know. They don't know if Jarrett Stidham's ready to go or not. They can tell you what they think of his preseason stuff. They can tell you what they've seen in terms of when they've been at practice and the practices they've been able to see. They can tell you that. But the only people that know whether or not Jarrett Stidham's ready to go are Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. Nobody else has an idea whatsoever. So I don't know how Todd McShay can say that, yeah, in my opinion, he's not ready to play. And I'm not telling you that Jarrett Stidham's going to be this great quarterback right away and he's going to take the league by storm or anything along those lines. I'm just saying that Todd McShay, for him to say that he's not ready to go right now, he doesn't have that information. He doesn't. Now, another thing I wanted to mention is no young quarterback is going to be able to run the offense like Tom Brady did anyway. So nobody's going to master the line of scrimmage like Brady does and all the checks he did at the line of scrimmage. So whether it's Stidham or you draft another quarterback and you draft another young guy, it's not going to be the same offense as Tom Brady was running. You're going to have to dumb this thing down. So maybe if Todd McShay's interpretation is there's no way he can catch up to the Tom Brady offense that they've been running in New England for all those years. Well, no kidding. But the offense is going to have to be different no matter who the quarterback is next year, because they can't do everything that Tom Brady does. Not to mention the fact that, okay, we're now in the year 2020, and we don't wait on quarterbacks anymore. You rip off the damn Band-Aid. That's how it works in the NFL. You play quarterbacks early. You don't take a quarterback and say, hey, he's probably going to be okay in 3 years. That's not how it works in the NFL. So you just look at this recently. So last few years, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones, Gardner Minshew last year all played as rookies. By the way, Minshew was a six-round pick. 2018, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson all played as rookies. 2017, Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson,
played as rookies. Mahomes played one game in Week 17, and then the following season, of course, he started every game. He won the MVP. But so most of those guys, I understand, are high-round picks. But Gardner Minshew, as I mentioned, was a six-round pick. And Kyle Allen started the majority of the season for the Carolina Panthers last year. And Allen's now in Washington with his old coach Ron Rivera, and he wasn't impressive last year, threw 16 interceptions. I don't believe he's a good player. But I don't think we would have been like, well, if Allen got to sit in another year, if he didn't play last year and now he's going into year three, this is when he was going to take off because he had 2 years with the Clippers. I just don't buy into that anyway. I don't buy into that philosophy. We need to find out what the guy is sooner rather than later. So that's why, for me, I don't understand why sitting Stidham does anything for you. Like, oh, yeah, he needs another year. So if he's not good this year, or I should say if they do start him this year and he's not good, we could say, well, if you waited another year, he would have been okay. It just doesn't make sense to me. And now one thing I will acknowledge is if you think about a guy like Sam Darnold in New York with the Jets, he's been put in a brutal position because the organization has been a joke. Now, maybe Joe Douglas, who came over from the Eagles, a good organization, maybe they can get a better roster around him, but he has had no offensive line. He's had no weapons. So when you look at it from that scenario, okay, that's kind of screwed over Sam Darnold, but I trust that the Patriots are going to get this in a better position than it was at the end of last year. Whether it's drafting additional players, that's why at 23, if the Patriots wanted to draft another receiver, I'd have no issue with it whatsoever. Because, yeah, N'Keal Harry, you're hoping he has a better year too, but you're going to need additional guys at that position no matter what. Even if N'Keal Harry works out, Edelman's 34. He's probably only got, what, 1 year left at a relatively high level. Jacoby Myers didn't show you much last year. You're going to need more guys. That's a position of need anyway. So if one of these receivers at 23, you really like Justin Jefferson, something along those lines. If one of those guys is there now, Lamb and Ruggs and Judy, those guys will be off the board. But if Justin Jefferson's sitting there, I wouldn't mind the Patriots taking a receiver at 23 anyway, because no matter who the quarterback is going to be, you need additional weapons. We saw what this offense was with Brady last year. Even if Harry takes a massive step in year two, you're still going to need additional weaponry for whoever the quarterback is in the future. And if Brian Hoyer starts games, I'm going to lose my mind next year. Now, here's the thing. So I believe that really you don't benefit in terms of anything. You don't benefit in any way, shape, or form by starting Brian Hoyer. The only way that I could see Brian Hoyer starting is, say, at training camp, Stidham is just atrocious, horrible, so bad that you have to go with Hoyer. And the reason I say that is, so if you think about it from Bill Belichick's perspective, if he goes into that camp and Stidham's just not ready, he doesn't look like he understands the offense, he's throwing the ball all over the place, then you have to go with Hoyer from Belichick's angle on this. Because think about this. He brought back veterans like Devin McCourty, Dante Hightower is still with the team, Julian Edelman's still there. You have a lot of guys on that roster that were just recently part of a Super Bowl team. So if Stidham's so bad in training camp that Brian Hoyer is clearly the better player, you can't go with Stidham because that goes against everything that Bill Belichick has been preaching for years, right? Think about it. When Tom Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe, now initially, of course, it was for the injury, but when Drew Bledsoe comes back and he's healthy, they stick with Brady because he trusts Brady more than Bledsoe, and Brady earned that spot, right? So we've seen it time after time where Belichick plays the guy. It doesn't matter where you were drafted. It doesn't matter what round you were in. Whoever's the better player is going to be on the football field, right? So if you look at it, that would be a bad look for Belichick if he just went with Stidham because he was the younger player. So if Brian Hoyer is significantly better than Stidham in training camp, then you have to go with Brian Hoyer, although that would terrify me if that's the case. And if it's even remotely close, then you go with Stidham. You can convince the veterans of that. They know they're not going anywhere with Brian Hoyer. They know they're not winning at a high level with Hoyer anyway. So if Stidham's close to him, you're saying, all right, well, he'll improve even more as the season goes along. But if we're looking at a situation where Hoyer beats out Stidham, that's a really, really bad look for Stidham. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Jeff. He's in Manchester. What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, I got two things. The first thing is, you know that saying, you never want to be the guy after the guy?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the situation that you have, you know, with Jared Stidham. But isn't it always, we do the same thing in New England constantly where, you know, every time we draft a quarterback, you know, we vilify him. Oh, he'll never be Brady, or he doesn't understand the offense. We said the same things about Jimmy Garoppolo when he was in the Super Bowl last year. I'm not saying that Stidham's Jimmy Garoppolo or Tom Brady. He's going to have to be Jared Stidham, and they're going to have to fit a system around him. That's the point of this. That doesn't really concern me. And I think having a veteran guy like Brian Hoyer come in and try to push him in whatever direction they want to push him in, into maturity, reading defenses, and especially a guy who's been around Brady himself, is going to be a good thing. The other thing that kind of concerns me is the skill position players. I mean, Sanu, I don't know if he's, you know, is he gonna, what does his contract look like? Is he coming back next year?
Well, he's under contract. I mean, you could cut him. That'd be a bad look for Belichick, cutting him after giving up a second round pick. But you could cut him and save a bunch of money against the salary cap. But I would imagine he's going to be part of the equation.
Yeah, and I mean, he'll get James White, Julian Edelman, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I look at the most in terms of the skill position players is Jacoby Myers had the most receiving yards in the preseason of any receiver last year. And Jared Stidham pretty much was throwing him the ball that amount, that, you know, that throughout that whole time. He was in the doghouse pretty much with Brady all last year. Brady probably didn't even look at him, or when he did, he scowled. So I want to know what that relationship looks like. I think Jacoby Myers is a lot better than he had the opportunity of being last year.
Well, and Jeff, to your point about Jacoby Myers, it also goes with N'Keal Harry. Now, I understand that a lot of people were aggravated with Harry last year because he was a first-round pick, but let's not dismiss the fact that he missed the first eight games of the season to an injury, and then in the ninth game, they didn't activate him. And the quarterback wasn't heavily invested in developing Harry because Brady knew that he may be gone after the season, so it wasn't worth putting in a lot of work with Harry because he wasn't going to be around maybe in the next couple of years. So I would imagine the McDaniels is going to do everything he can and is probably already coming up with ways to get Harry the ball, because the one thing he did do is he was good in space. So I would imagine that Harry's going to get a lot more opportunities to produce at a high level. And if he's bad next year, then we find out, all right, maybe the player is not good. But I don't think we should buy too much into Harry's rookie performance into what he's going to be long term.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, I still would like to see the Patriots grab a hold of somebody out there. I know, you know, obviously Stephon Diggs is gone. I don't know what kind of trade possibilities they would have. I know the Patriots have a few draft picks. I don't know. Again, I don't know what that would look like. But I feel like they need somebody else. Obviously, we know they need a tight end. I don't know if they're looking to just draft these guys.
Yeah.
You're asking for a lot. You're asking for Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry, who's still essentially a rookie because he didn't play last year, like you said, and then now a couple of skill position players in the draft. That's a lot to ask with a rookie quarterback, essentially.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And, Jeff, I appreciate the phone call. His line's open at 617-779-7937. So last year, and this is something that I will criticize Belichick for, is he knew for a couple of years that Gronk was contemplating retirement. Remember, after the Super Bowl against the Eagles, Gronk was asked about, hey, is it true you may retire? And he said, how did you find that out? So Gronk was considering retiring for a couple of years. And the fact that they really never addressed the tight end position in the draft, that was an oversight by Belichick. I mean, what was the only guy they drafted is like Izzo in the seventh round one year. That was a mistake by Belichick. And last year would have been the draft to go after tight ends, because this year, if you look at all the mock drafts, none of the tight ends are there in terms of at the 23rd pick, there's not a tight end worth taking at that spot. And last year you had the Noah Fants of the world and that group of guys, where you had a bunch of guys that were high-level tight ends coming out of the collegiate level, and now this year you don't really have that. So if at 23 there's a receiver that drops to you that you really like, even though you took one last year in the first round, I wouldn't stop from doing that if I was Belichick. Brandon Ayuk, the kid out of Arizona State, is an absolute stud. Justin Jefferson is an absolute stud. So I don't mind doubling up on receivers whatsoever, because that's one of your biggest positions of need. The other place you would look at if you're the Patriots is the linebacker position. Clearly, you need some help there with the fact that Jamie Collins is now no longer here. Of course, he left in the offseason. You think about the fact that Kyle Van Noy left as well. That's a position that you could surely upgrade. And Patrick Queen, the kid out of LSU, is an absolute stud. So linebacker and receiver, to me, are the two biggest needs on this Patriots team right now. That's something that they clearly have to go after in terms of, no matter who the quarterback's going to be long-term, you need more weapons. Because how much longer would Edelman be here anyway? Maybe a year, and I could see the Patriots moving on from the player at the deadline if they can get a decent return for Edelman. I would like to start the season with Edelman, clearly, because in all likelihood, it's going to be a young quarterback, and you'd like them to have somebody to throw the football to. But if you really start to think about this long-term, N'Keal Harry's here. We'll see what Jacoby Myers is. But other than that, the skill position players, it's a pretty bare look for the Patriots right now. It's a pretty ugly situation. All right, the number is 617-779-7937 if you want to join us. What do you make of the quarterback situation with the Patriots? And I want to get to this next. Todd McShay mentioned a backup quarterback. At least that's what he's referencing, that this guy could be a backup, and the Patriots may want to use a draft pick on a quarterback coming out of college. It's going to be nothing more than a backup. I don't like the idea whatsoever. We'll get to it in just a little bit. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. The number is 617-779-7937. So Tom McShay also had this to say on Get Up. I think Jake Fromm makes a lot of sense because he doesn't have the physical tools Bill Belichick would ideally look for. But if you're going to bring in an Andy Dalton, I would rather have Jake Fromm because he's the same guy physically and he's younger and he understands the game at a high level. Fromm would make a lot of sense, even though physically he doesn't have the tools you're looking for and he's struggled in bad weather in New England. That's obviously an issue. So because there's been some links or some connection between the Patriots and Dalton, you should draft a quarterback that's similar to Dalton. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. So you're telling me he doesn't have a strong enough arm to play here. He looks like essentially he's a lifelong backup. Why would I be doing that in the draft this year? You don't even know who your long-term starter is for the Patriots. The Patriots don't know if Stidham's that guy. They don't. Now, they may have a good feeling about him, but they don't know if he's the guy or not. So, hey, let's go after a long-term backup. That's, I think, something we need to address in the draft, a long-term backup. It's one thing for the Patriots to get a long-term backup when Brady's 27. But seriously, looking at a long-term backup right now, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Let's get the starter first, and then we'll worry about the backup later. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Charlie in Billerica. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I trust Bill Belichick. He's he's been there. I mean, he's won 6 Super Bowls. He's been to New England 10 times in the playoffs. And the only thing that's troubling me is his salary space right now. He's probably the second lowest as far as salary cap space. I think the bottom one down the line right now is Kansas City.
Yeah.
As far as the quarterback situation, he's probably going to go with Stedman and Hoyer at training camp. But if he doesn't like what he sees there, he's a smart cookie. He'll go after a free agent that probably will get cut. And he looks at a lot of film. And if he likes what he sees, he'll go after it. He looks at a lot of film when he's
supposed to. Yeah, well, I mean, Charlie, the problem is, like, the only guys out there in terms of free agents, you're looking at Cam Newton and Jameis Winston. I mean, that's pretty much it for the Patriots in terms of the free agency guys, and it doesn't look like they've had...
He can't sign him because he's they're low on salary.
Right,
Right, but we haven't seen any reporting that they're interested in those guys. And if anything, we've heard the contrary. No, Scott Pioli, who, of course, used to work at the Patriots front office, said that Cam and Belichick would not work out well together.
Well, they probably would, but I don't really think he's got...
Look, Charlie, you're overwhelming your overall point that you trust Bill Belichick to get the guy. I agree with you, because the thing I point out is if you look at Belichick drafting quarterbacks, the only time that he thought he was drafting Brady's replacement was in 2014, and that was Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo just took the 49ers to the Super Bowl. All the rest of the guys that he's drafted over the years, the guys like Ryan Mallett, these quarterbacks over the years, O'Connell, all those guys, they weren't brought here to be the starter. They were brought here to back up Tom Brady. So the only other time that he looked at a guy that was going to be a franchise quarterback was Garoppolo, and he hit on him.
He hit on him, sure he did.
So, yeah, You gotta look
when all these teams start spring training camp. He might find a quarterback that gets cut from another team and fix it to his system, and he'll if it's good enough for him to sign, he'll sign. But that's the way he is.
Yeah,
I mean, he looks at free agencies, and he sees if they run into that Patriot system, he'll pick them up.
Yeah, appreciate it, Charlie. Appreciate the call. 617-779-7937 is the number. The only problem with that is I just don't see the guy that's out there. Now, if you wanted to bring in Cam Newton, for an entertainment standpoint, it would make sense to me. I mean, that would be awesome from a fan perspective to see how Cam deals with the local media here. Because remember, in Carolina, he had issues with the media. He's also said that he's an entertainer, not just a football player. Like, I just can't imagine that him and Bill Belichick would get along tremendously well. Although, if you want to look at an experiment like a running quarterback, Cam makes a lot of sense. But again, he's coming off a shoulder injury and a foot injury. So, from that perspective, it just doesn't really look like it'd be the right timing to go after a guy like Cam Newton. And Belichick going after Jameis Winston would make no sense. Jameis Winston turned the ball over 35 times last year. That is something that would drive Bill Belichick absolutely nuts. Can you imagine Belichick on the sidelines with Jameis Winston and after he throws one of those horrible interceptions? The guy legitimately threw 30 interceptions last year. 30 interceptions. Let's get to KJ in Vermont. What's up, KJ?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So you were high on the Pats taking Jake Fromm. Now, did you want them to use their first round pick?
No, I do not want the Patriots to take Jake Fromm. That was Todd McShay.
Oh, okay.
That was Todd McShay who were playing the ESPN draft analyst. It makes no sense to me. He even explains that he doesn't have a strong arm. He hasn't been good in bad weather, basically projects to be a backup. And my whole thing, KJ, is if you're going to draft a quarterback next year or this draft, that I would go after a guy that at least is toolsy, right? That at least has a big arm or he's really athletic. I don't want to draft a guy that projects to be a backup. That just doesn't entice me at all.
I think the steal of the draft, whoever grabs him, is Anthony Gordon out of Washington State. And we have 3 6th-round and 3 7th-round picks. And I think he'll be available, and he would be a great pick to pick up to try him out in camp.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I have never seen Anthony Gordon play, but he comes from that system with
Mike. Look his tape up.
Yeah, he comes from that system with Mike Leach where they throw the ball all over the football field. Now, Gardner Minshew.
That's where Minshew came from.
Yeah, and Minshew worked out for the Jaguars last year, so it may be worth taking a late flyer and a guy like that. But my whole thing, KJ, is if you're going to take a flyer on a quarterback, and maybe Anthony Gordon fits this mold, but if you're going to take a flyer on a quarterback, I want to go after a guy that's toolsy, that has a big arm, or that he's athletic. He brings something to the table where he can say, hey, if it works out, in all likelihood it's not, but if it works out, he can be a starter. And if we're talking about Jake Fromm, he never projects to be a starter. So that's why, to me, that just didn't really make sense. Heck, if you want to move up from 23, if one of these quarterbacks falls, I would advocate the Patriots doing that. I'm all about trying to get more quarterbacks in here that are younger, that have potential. I just don't want to go after backup type quarterbacks, and that's the point that Todd McShay was making.
And people are high on I've seen a couple people throw Jordan Love's name. I'm not big on Jordan Love. I think he's the biggest potential quarterback bust that might go in the first round.
Yeah, the one thing that stuck out to me, KJ, is some people are comparing him to Pat Mahomes. I'm like, you got to stop doing that, right? That's like,
no, I know it.
That's like, you know, that's like comparing a shooter coming out of the collegiate ranks to Steph Curry. Like, just don't do it. He's the greatest shooter of all time. I'm not saying Pat Mahomes is the greatest player of all time, but he's the most talented guy I've ever seen play the position.
He's the next big thing, and I don't think Jordan Love is going to be the next big thing because he has a big arm. But Pat Mahomes threw a bunch of picks at Texas Tech, but he backed it up with all the touchdowns and yardage he's thrown too. And obviously, he's proven he's more than all the picks he threw in college.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Appreciate the phone call, KJ. His line's open at 617-779-7937. Jordan Love, it's funny. He's been getting a lot of hype. Now, one of the comparisons that he's also gotten in terms of, you look at the fact that he's got a lot of interceptions at the collegiate level. Now, Dan Orlovsky from ESPN broke this down that a bunch of his interceptions weren't his fault. Like, literally seven of them were either the receiver's fault or they were batted at the line of scrimmage. So it's not all his fault. And naturally, when you're playing at a place like Utah State, you're not going to have great weapons around you. You're probably not going to have a great offensive line as well. So one of the comparisons that was made was Josh Allen, because Allen played on a horrible team at Wyoming at the collegiate level, and Jordan Love could have a similar thing. And Jordan Love lost a lot of his playmakers from last year, like Allen did when he was coming out. The previous year, he had lost a bunch of guys that had either graduated, or a couple of them actually made it to the NFL. But nonetheless, if I was going to take a flyer on a quarterback in the first couple of rounds, meaning the second and the third round, I would rather get Jacob Eason than a guy like Jake Fromm. Jacob Eason, of course, started at Georgia. Now, I'm aware that he did lose his job to Jake Fromm, but Jacob Eason is at least toolsy, right? He has a massive arm. He's a really athletic kid. And with Jake Fromm, you just don't have that. What Jake Fromm reminds me of is, it's almost like, if you remember years ago when Jimmer Fredette was coming out of BYU, and Jimmer Fredette was a guy that everybody was enamored with because he put up these unbelievable numbers. Remember, he actually played in the same conference as Kawhi Leonard, and he was getting more hyped up than Kawhi Leonard. Now, Kawhi wasn't the player he is now, of course, but he had crazy numbers. He was going by people. He was shooting the three, and you could kind of tell it's not going to project to the NBA. And he gets to the NBA. He's not that big. He's not that fast. And we found out, okay, he doesn't really belong in the NBA. That's kind of what Jake Fromm is to me. He goes to Georgia, which is obviously an incredible program, and he's a stabilizing force for a really good college team, but he doesn't have the skill set that projects to the NFL level. And that's something to me that, okay, this would have been fine if Brady was in his prime, and you're saying, hey, we can get a quarterback on a rookie contract where we don't have to allocate a good portion of the salary cap to our backup, because a lot of these quarterbacks over the years that are backups, they've been getting big money. The Chase Daniels of the world, Nick Foles, when he's been signed as a backup, he's made big money. So you've had a lot of quarterbacks that are backups that actually get big money. So if you can have a quarterback on a rookie contract that's not making a lot of money, of course, and that can be your backup, that works out well. But the problem is you don't have your starting quarterback right now if you're the Patriots. Maybe it turns out to be Jarrett Stidham, but I'm not so convinced with Jarrett Stidham right now that I'm going after and finding out who his backup quarterback is going to be. That logic just doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. Now, in terms of the Patriots in the quarterback position in this draft, if they could somehow do what Ben Volen suggested from the Globe, I would be all on board with that. If they could somehow trade 23 and 87 and some veterans on this team to move up to number three, I would be all on board with that to take a chance on Tua. The injury history, I get all of that. But this is a guy that we were talking about before the season as teams were tanking for Tua. So if you could actually pull that off, I'm all on board with that. He's an incredible talent. I've watched him basically the whole time he's been in college. His passes down the field, his deep ball is great. His anticipatory skills are phenomenal. And one thing that people point out is, oh, well, he played with so many weapons, with Ruggs and Judy, who are going in the first round. Well, Alabama's always had great players. This is the only quarterback to put up this type of numbers, or these type of numbers. Joe Burrow, who's going to be the number one overall pick, and I get the fact that he doesn't have the injury history that Tua has. Well, he's playing with Justin Jefferson, that's going to be a first-round pick. Jamar Chase, he would arguably be the top receiver in this draft, but he's not eligible. Not to mention the fact Joe Brady just got a job as an offensive coordinator in the NFL because he's a genius play caller. So Joe Burrow had all this talent around him as well, but nobody uses that as a criticism of him. I don't know why all of a sudden, because Tua played with good players at the collegiate level, that we should be criticizing him, and that's something that works against him. Like, I've never heard this before. Did we do this when Mark Sanchez was coming out? And Sanchez didn't even turn out to be a great NFL player, but he played at USC on a loaded team. Same thing with Matt Stafford at Georgia. Nobody used that against him. Like, oh, he plays with good players. I've never heard this before. Oh, he plays with good players, so he's not going to be good at the NFL level? That's crap. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Now, the interesting thing that Ben Volen pointed out with the Lions, which is fascinating, is ordinarily, when you're at the three spot, and if you're trading out, what you'd be trying to do is, obviously you're a crappy team, so you're trying to get as much draft capital as you possibly can. But Patricia and Bob Quinn are on the hot seat in Detroit. So if they're looking to move out of that spot, they're looking for a veteran player like a Gilmore or an Edelman or Joe Tooney, somebody that helps right now, because they're thinking short term to save their own ass, to save their own job, when really, if the organization was run well by the Ford family, the owners of the team, they would be saying, all right, let's look towards the future. But the problem is your GM and your coach are looking for the short term. If that ever happened, I would be so pumped. If they could somehow find a way to get Tua Tagovailoa, and imagine how pissed people around the league would be. Wait, the Patriots just went from Brady to Tua, and they made a trade with a guy that used to be the defensive coordinator and a guy that used to work in the front office and Bob Quinn with the Patriots. Oh, my God, the rest of the league would be so pissed. I would love it. 617-779-7937, the number. Now, Andy Hart from WEI, he writes on WEI.com. You hear him on the weekends all the time. You hear him on Dale and Keefe. He had a suggestion on a quarterback the Patriots should go after on the draft. That is Jalen Hurts. I like this idea. I'll tell you why in just a little bit. You're listening to Brian Barrett on WEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you, WEI Late Night, the phone number 617-779-7937. All right, so Andy Hart had an article up on WEI.com at a possible quarterback the Patriots could look at. He says, with Tom Brady no longer holding down the pocket passing game in New England, the team could alter its offense under Jarrett Stidham or whoever else is the next quarterback. Jalen Hurts is a unique leader and the athlete who might just fit in the competitive world of the Patriot way. So this makes sense to me for a variety of reasons, and if you haven't checked out the article, check it out at WEI.com. So we know that Hoyer is nothing more than a backup quarterback, so in terms of real competition for Stidham into the future, this makes sense to bring in another young guy to take a flyer on him. And another thing that it makes sense in terms of this angle, another thing is you get an opportunity to see what your team can do with a really athletic quarterback, because if you look at the NFL now, it's almost becoming like a requirement that the quarterback needs to be able to run the football. You look at the young quarterbacks in the league right now, and think about this. The top five quarterbacks in rushing attempts last year, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, and Russell Wilson. Four of those teams made the playoffs. So four of the top five teams in terms of rushing attempts for their quarterbacks, they all made the playoffs. You look at what Buffalo does with Allen. He had 9 rushing touchdowns. Watson and Jackson each had 7 rushing touchdowns. So the league clearly is trending in this direction. And unless you have Pat Mahomes, who can run a little bit, by the way, or Drew Brees or Tom Brady in their prime, it's going to be awfully difficult to win with a traditional pocket passer unless everything else goes your way. And it's going to be really hard to win with a young traditional pocket passer. That's going to be an awfully difficult task. So, and think about it. Last year, in terms of the Niners getting all the way to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, a traditional pocket passer, they needed a great defense, a great offensive line, a great running game, the best tight end in the NFL in George Kittle, a really good receiver in Emmanuel Sanders, and a really good secondary receiver in Deebo Samuel. So it took all those things coming together for the Niners to make it to the Super Bowl. So the way that we've seen some offenses have success with the more athletic running quarterbacks, that's something I would imagine that the Patriots now would like to take a shot on. And even if Jalen Hurts doesn't work out, well, at least you get some information in terms of the long term on what an offense would look like in terms of designing one, in terms of a quarterback that's going to use his legs a lot. At least you get that intel. At least you get that information. And Jalen Hurts, by the way, for what it's worth, he's been a player that has improved basically every year as a passer at the collegiate level. Last year at Oklahoma, he's a Heisman finalist. It was his best season. Lincoln Riley, I get it. He's a great offensive mind, but he went from Alabama and then he goes to Oklahoma, has an outstanding season. And I also look at the way that the roster is constructed with the Patriots, and it makes a lot of sense to get a quarterback that can run the ball a little bit in terms of a different element to his game, because I believe what Bill Belichick's going to want to do is to not put everything on the quarterback's shoulders like he had to do or like he did for so many years. Really, from about 06-ish to 17, it was all about Tom Brady. And in 18, we saw the Patriots go away from that a little bit. They draft Isaiah Wynn in the first round. They pick up Sony Michel in the first round. And they get a guy like Trent Brown, a road grader. They trade for him out of from San Francisco. And they want to run the ball more. And so when Brady was aging, they wanted to make it a little bit easier for Brady at the tail end of his career. And I would imagine that's what they want to do with the next young quarterback. Brady, of course, a veteran. They were trying to give him help because he was aging. Now with a young quarterback, you want to make the quarterback a position where he doesn't have to completely carry the team like we saw with Brady for all those years. And the way this roster is constructed, getting that running element would certainly help this Patriots team. Look at the offense right now. The only guy you can guarantee me that's going to be productive in the passing game in terms of the receivers. Now, you got White out of the backfield, but the only guy you can guarantee me is going to be productive is Julian Edelman. That's it. I hope N'Keal Harry takes a step forward, and I think he will, but we can't guarantee that. We can't guarantee his production. So having a quarterback that could actually run the football would actually help this team mightily. And another thing I would point out is, so say hypothetically you bring in Jalen Hurts, and he's just not good enough to be that guy. Maybe he even gets a couple of starts, but he's not good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Okay, fine, you made the experiment with the running type quarterback. But the other thing you do is you put together a game plan and you put together an offense that suits that type of quarterback. So that means next year when you go back into the draft and you think about the 2021 class, you got Trevor Lawrence, who is this unbelievable prospect who's going to go number one overall. We already know that now. But in all likelihood, you're not going to be able to get him. But the number two prospect in terms of the quarterbacks in the 2021 class is Justin Fields, who's currently the quarterback at Ohio State, who is an exceptional athlete. So, okay, if Jalen Hurts doesn't work out and you try the system with Jalen Hurts running the ball, you say to yourself, well, if we upgrade and we get this kid out of Ohio State, Justin Fields, that can make a lot of sense to me. Now, I also would be terribly interested in seeing Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels having this different type of offense, because for so many years it's been the same thing. And obviously it's been great with Brady, but to see them have the opportunity to have a more modern offense in today's NFL, because it's no longer the NFL where the pocket passer dominates. It's not the Peyton Manning Breeze era, Brady era anymore. We've seen it's these athletic quarterbacks, the Lamar Jacksons, the Pat Mahomes. Those are the type of quarterbacks that are winning at a high level right now. All right, thanks to Brian for producing. Coming up next, it's going to be CBS Sports Radio. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
Really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.